Well, we'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul has been boasting. As much as he dislikes boasting, he feels that he has to say something because the fellows that were that still hadn't repented in the church of Corinth. Now, some of these guys were actually called apostles. In fact, Paul refers to them as eminent apostles. It's kind of interesting because you look up that word eminent and it actually means super. So we could, I suppose, call these guys the super apostles. And, you know, they talked about themselves. Unfortunately, when you talk about yourself, that diminishes the fact that in church we are to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. That wasn't happening in the church in Corinth in the way it should be happening. There was just a lot of stuff floating around concerning these quote-unquote super apostles. Now, they loved to brag about their spiritual exploits. And, you know, it was very important to Paul that these guys who were really relegating Paul to sort of a place of, you know, some of them felt like he wasn't even an apostle. Others felt like he was an apostle, but he was kind of a second-class apostle. And one of the problems was that they just really didn't know about some of the things that Paul had done. And so Paul feels obligated to set the record straight. And in chapter 11 and then on into chapter 12, he is telling the people some of the things that he has accomplished as an apostle. I say he has accomplished. I really should say that the Lord has used Paul in you know, blazing the trail. And it had not been an easy trail. If you recall some of the things that he mentions in chapter 11, you know, they're very hair-raising. Paul went through a lot for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, he says, as he closes chapter 11, he says, "If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity." Now, Paul had talked about some of these things that he had accomplished, and he had accomplished them for the glory of the Lord and in opposition to so much of the battle that was going on as Paul went from place to place. But Paul said, you know, there were a lot of things that Paul could boast about. But he said, I really want to boast about my infirmity in the Lord. So as he opens up the chapter 12, he is once again going to talk about something that, well, it's impressive. You know, I don't think it's happened to anybody here in this room. It's very rare. And Paul talks about it in such a way that, you know, for the first six verses, you don't even really know who Paul is talking about. He's talking about himself. And here's what he's talking about. He's talking about a time when the Lord transported him. Not sure how the Lord did it. Not sure if Paul went in the body or in the spirit. But Paul actually made a trip to heaven. And there in heaven, God spoke with him. Paul saw some of the glories of heaven, but it was a private trip. It wasn't for you know, it wasn't for us. It was for Paul, and so Paul really didn't say a whole lot about it. In fact, if he hadn't have had this problem in Corinth, where these quote unquote super apostles were constantly boasting about the things that they had done, and at the same time putting Paul down, Paul probably would never have mentioned this, an amazing experience where he has actually gone to heaven and seen the glories of heaven. Paul wouldn't have even have mentioned it, but he feels it's necessary just to counter the continual bragging that these apostles, that's what they called themselves. They called themselves apostles. He felt like Paul had to set the perspective a little bit. So he's talked about these experiences that he's had in chapter 11. And then in chapter 12, he talks about, going to heaven. And he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or not, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, I was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And then in verse 7, he tells us, that person, that was me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So Paul really doesn't say a whole lot about his time in heaven. What Paul really wants to focus on are his weaknesses and how God has used him in his weaknesses. And he talks about this this very interesting experience of Satan buffeting him, and it was so that he would not be exalted above measure. And we want to talk a little bit about that this morning. He says that this thorn that that he received, now he calls it a thorn. What the word actually means is tent stake. Whatever this was, it was huge. And Paul doesn't really define it exactly. And I think there's a reason for that. And the reason is this. That is that there are other people that God has used. And God has used them in a magnificent way. And they too have received some kind of tent stake, you might say, to cause them to not to to boast. You see, Paul, we've studied Paul. As you read all of the things that he's been through, you almost feel like you know him. But Paul is just like us. He's prone to pride, and once more, he could succumb to pride. Meaning this, that he could get so, self-impressed with all of the great experiences that he had had in the Lord, that he could talk about those experiences and he could talk about them in a prideful way that would cause people to focus on Paul rather than to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord gave this thorn. Now, again, this is a significant ongoing trial in Paul's life because it came from the Lord, but it was actually a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That's what it says in verse 7, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Buffet means to, well, I guess we could, you know, put it in the vernacular today. It means to punch somebody out. I mean, Satan beat up on Paul. And all of this was done so that Paul would not, you know, go off on some kind of pride trip. Wouldn't be exalted above measure. And like I say, when this first happened to Paul, Paul thought, what is going on here? You know, I better pray and, you know, get God to get this out of my life. And he prayed. He prayed once and, you know, nothing happened. So, you know, like most of us, we pray again, right? Let's get rid of this thing. God, please, this is killing me. And he prayed again. And then he prayed the third time. And he began to understand that this is something that God has brought into his life for a purpose. Now, I think for some of us, if we begin to understand that the Lord had brought something as horrific as this into my life for a purpose, you'd begin to think, maybe I'm not hearing God right, because it's not the message I want to hear. You ever had that experience before where God has begun to show you one way or the other something, and this is what God wants you to know, this is what God wants you to learn, but you're thinking, I don't like this, you know. I'm going to pray for something that I like. Well, you know, sometimes God sends things our way that we may not like initially, but we learn ultimately that it's the good thing. It's the best thing. It's the thing that will cause us to always be in that place where God can use us and where God can use us abundantly. You know, he does things to keep people dependent on himself. Yesterday we had kind of a normal day. I had a couple that I had to schedule, that I had to counsel for a, it was a premarital thing, but the day was pretty clear, and I was looking forward to studying and preparing this message for this morning, and Sally walked in the door, and she had a couple of significant wounds, and I said, honey, what happened? And she had been out walking, and there was a separation in the sidewalk, and somehow she didn't see it, and she tripped, and she fell, and you know, kind of got beat up, and we called a nurse friend, and the nurse said, you know, I would really go to emergency because you've got she had this huge opening on her nose, and she said, you know, you need to go get it stitched. And so anyway, what that all resulted in was a trip to the emergency ward, and we were there for hours, and you know, I go to emergency from time to time. There were, for many years, I went to visit other people, and I went to pray for them and so forth. But recently, you know, I've had to go to emergency a few times. This is the first time for Sally. But as we were there, we were just, you know, it's just a graphic reminder that there are times when things don't go well for people, and they're in emergency, and they need help. And we saw people that looked so helpless. We saw people that looked so sick. We saw people that were injured. And it really causes you, number one, to pray for those people, and number two, to reflect on the fact that, you know, but by the grace of God, this could happen to me. And so we were there, and it sort of put the whole day in a different frame. In fact, I came home and I was so tired last night, and all of that time that I was going to pour into this message, It didn't quite work out that way. But, you know, one of the themes of this lesson that we're working on, Paul is has gotten this thorn in the flesh, and he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And finally, God said to him, now, we don't know exactly when God said to this, but this is what God, when God said this to Paul, but this is what he said. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So whatever this thorn was, however it affected Paul, God is saying, look, I know this is rough. I know this is a trial, a test, but my grace is going to come in stronger than the pain that you are feeling from this thorn in your flesh. So Paul goes on to say, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I think all of us recognize that there are times where in our enthusiasm for the Lord, we'll talk about things of God. We'll express to people, how much we love the Lord. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing, of course. But there are times where we get carried away and we are doing things where we are, quote unquote, serving the Lord, but we're serving him in the power of our own flesh. And therefore, God is, giving this experience to Paul where he will come to a place where instead of boasting in his, in his ability to preach the gospel, to share with people the treasures of the Lord Jesus Christ, and boast in it. Say, yeah, I met this guy yesterday, and boy, I began to share with him, and this happened and this happened, and God was really there. Paul said, I rejoice that God has given me that kind of ability, but I'm not going to boast in that. What I'm going to boast in is the infirmities that I have that allow God to show his strength in me when I have no strength at all. And, that became a reality for Paul. Paul went and he shared. Now, this experience that he had, this experience where he received this problem in his flesh, this thorn in the flesh, that had happened 15 years prior to the time that he's spending here with the Corinthians. And so Paul had been living with this situation for a long time. And Paul felt that he was at that point where the grace of God overcame on a constant basis the thorn that was there in his flesh. Again, we don't know what the thorn was because the thorn varies. You know, people get different kinds of thorns, but, we pray, we say, Lord, please get rid of this thorn. But sometimes the thorn is there to help us to look to the Lord for our strength and not to our own self for the strength. So the grace overcame the thorn. Now, someone has said that great tribulation brings out the great strength of God. Why? It's because the tribulation overwhelms our own capacity to deal with it. And, I think many of us have been in that situation where we're thinking, man, I don't have anything left for this struggle. I don't have anything left in sharing the Lord Jesus with these people. And you know, we pray and God somehow gives us strength, and he gives us the capacity to do what we normally would not be able to do. And that's what Paul is talking about here. God's strength manifested in his weakness. I don't know if he had a problem with headaches. I say headaches because there are many eminent Bible commentators that believe that Paul had this this ongoing problem where he had these very harsh headaches, and yet in spite of those headaches, he was able to share in a very cogent way, in a way that was of the Lord, in a way that God was anointing. He would share the gospel, and people would listen, and they would accept the Lord. So all of that to say this, we too are in that place where we need to remember that God's grace is sufficient for us. God's grace is sufficient for us. In fact, let's change one word. God's grace is sufficient for me. I'm going to have you say that this morning because it's so important. On the count of three, God's grace is sufficient for me. One, two, three. God's grace is sufficient for me. It's, you know, one thing we need to remember about God's grace. I know this is very basic and this is very down to earth, but so often when we are needing the grace of God, we think that we're not worthy of it. We're not deserving of it. And so, you know, one of these days when, you know, when I can get enough grace together. No, God's grace is for right now. God's grace is for right now. It's for you. This is what the scripture says. My grace is sufficient for you. And I'll tell you something. When you are weak, it's at that very time, through the grace of God, that you are strong. So when those times of weakness come, now maybe it's a physical weakness, maybe it's a weakness where I've just run out of things to say, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help and I need it now. Maybe the Lord won't give you anything to say, but he'll give you that rest and that peace that what you've said is enough, and that person that you're sharing with, that you're interacting with, they've heard what they need to hear, and God has planted that seed in their heart, and they're going to go on, and they're going to, God's going to deal with them. And sometimes you just need to rest in the Lord and rest in the fact that God is in control and that God's grace is the controlling element in your life. I think sometimes it's important that we literally spend time in prayer and ask God to empty us, so that he can fill us with his grace. God doesn't want flesh to glory in his presence. He wants us to glory in him. That's so important. So, you know, if you're here this morning and you're feeling, well, I made it to church, that's about it. I just can't do much for the Lord. I'll tell you, when you are weak, that's when you are strong, when you are relying upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was Paul's experience. And he had a lot of things. He had a lot of things that he could boast about. But, and he did, he mentions some very impressive things. And but he doesn't really like to talk about those things. What he likes to glory in, what he likes to boast in, is in the things that make him weak. Because when he's weak, that's when God's power comes in and brings great strength into his life. So, I hope that's a word for some of you this morning, that you may be weak, but through God's grace, you can be made strong. And, you don't have to wait for God's grace. God's grace is with you even this morning. So let's pray and thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to each one of us. And we thank you, Father, that, Lord, sometimes you're faithful when we feel so weak. And in that weakness, we feel like, there's nothing we can do. There's no way you can use us. But Lord, in your grace, we are made strong. And we thank you for that strength. And Lord, we rejoice in that strength. And we pray that, Lord, even today, as we are resting in you, your grace would shine brightly in our life. Lord, we thank you for those opportunities that we have to occasionally share with people. And we pray, Lord, that as we share, we would be mindful of the fact that your grace is the key element, Lord, that the day we met you, you caused the grace of God to come flooding into our hearts and into our lives. And Lord, we don't want to impede the flow of grace. So, Lord, would you help us? I mean, even this morning, even as we look to you, to empty ourselves of those things that are not of you, those things of the flesh. And would you fill us, and would you overflow us with a real baptism of your Holy Spirit? And then, Lord, would you use us for your glory? And we ask this in the name of our Savior, who died for us, who rose again for us, and who loves us very much. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to receive communion this morning, and I pray that as we receive these tangible elements of God's grace, that we would be especially reminded of the fact that, number one, God is in us. He's literally in us. And number two, he wants to use us for his glory. So we'll make the communion elements available. What we're going to ask this morning is that you come up here. We'll just have lines coming up. Take the elements back to your seat, and then you spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time in prayer. And then when you're ready, go ahead and have communion. Have these elements at your seat, and then we'll conclude the service.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And Father, we thank you this morning for this service. We thank you for the time of worship. We thank you for the time in your word. And then we thank you for this time of communion. And Lord, we pray that as we leave here, you would impart to us just a fresh infilling of your grace. Lord, we want to be men and women who serve you on the basis of the strength that you provide. And we thank you that you provide that strength as we look to you. Bless this body, Lord. I thank you so much for it. Help us, Lord, to focus our attention on you. Lord, we've got a lot of things. Many of us have a lot of things that we've got to be mindful of. But there's nothing more important than being mindful of the one who loved us, who gave himself for us, who we will one day join in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for that reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, shall we stand together? May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord use you for his glory. In Jesus' name, God bless you.